Morning. You're going to have to get used to me this morning. I don't like pulpits. So if it's okay with you, no, even if it's not okay with you, I'm going to be wandering around this morning. Just a brief introduction. I'm Dave Sedgell. That's that strange name that's in your bulletin. I come from a set of different ways in which I've been able to minister to the Lord and for the Lord. The early part of my life, I pastored, starting in southern Ohio. And anybody ever hear of a place called Cheshire? Has anybody ever heard of that? There actually are three Cheshires in Ohio. And the one down on the river, I am a river rat, I grew up down there. Cheshire's near Gallipolis. And then I pastored in a place called Belpre. And I grew up in Portsmouth and Ireton. I am a true river rat. And you'll have to put up with that a little bit. From there, I ended up pastoring in Pierce, South Dakota. You all know what the capital of South Dakota is? It's not Pierre. It's Pierre. If you say Pierre, they will run you out. And then in Omaha, Nebraska, and then I came back to the state of Ohio. Pastored here in two pastorates. And then the Lord changed my ministry. Has the Lord ever changed your path before? I ended up, for about the last 20 years, being a chaplain in our hospitals here in central Ohio. The final 8 years, I was the hospice chaplain. So this morning, I am not coming to you as a pastor. We have a marvelous pastor. We have a God-called pastor. So I'm going to come to you this morning as a chaplain. And you're looking and saying, what in the world does that mean? I've walked the aisles of churches and I've walked the halls in the hospital. I've walked into obstetrics. I've walked into the emergency room. I've walked into homes where people are in the process of physically dying. And that has changed my life. And this morning, I'd like to come to you from that perspective. I'd like to invite you to walk with me. I'd like to invite you to walk with me as I walk with the Lord. And when you walk with somebody, you become a part of their life. Did you ever notice that? I'd like for you to be able to get a sense of what it's like to walk literally with Jesus, because that means that you're going to be listening to him. Is that right? And my prayer is that you and I will be able to hear clearly the voice of Jesus this morning. This morning we're going to look at a book in the Bible called the Psalms, P-S-A-L-M-S. Y'all know, what is the English name for Psalms? It's okay to talk. This is a song book, and the middle of your Bible is a song book. Open it up. Now, if you don't have a concordance or something like that, every time you open up your Bible, in the middle, in the heart of your Bible, you will open it up to the book of Psalms. Now, since the English word for Psalms is song, what do you do with a song? I don't know if you're aware of this or not, but the Psalms were never intended to be spoken, to be read. They were intended and were sung. The Psalms were created to be a part of the worship of our Lord in the first temple. The Psalms were created to be a part of worship in the second temple in Jerusalem. And it's rather interesting that we have been participating in music this morning. Did you notice that? I would like everybody that was involved this morning in leading us in music to stand up. I'm talking drummer, I'm talking choir, I'm talking song leader. Come on, all you that assisted us. Now listen, it's harder for me to get up than you. I want you to look around. See these people who are involved. Now, I would like everybody who sang songs, because you helped out in the music this morning, to stand up. And if you were unable to sing, if the songs touched you, would you please stand up? And let's give the Lord a round of applause for the music that He sends in our hearts. You can be seated. I think the Lord loves to hear the praise that goes to Him and belongs to Him. But as we look at the Psalms, I have two Psalms. And if you have in your bulletin, there is a piece of paper on that has a listing of the sermons that Pastor Rick is going to be working on. On the back of that paper, you will see there are two parts to our message this morning. Please do not leave after the communion is served. This is a little bit strange, and I know you can do it. The whole service today is a communion service. Everything that is going on as we worship today is a part of our communion with our Lord, with our God. And as we come to this table, we're going to realize where this table came from. It didn't just appear just a short time ago. We had a Passover meal. Was anybody here that was in the Passover meal? Boy, I'm telling you, I was so grateful for the way in which the Lord used that Passover meal. That's what this table is. And they sang psalms at the Passover table. But if you will notice on that paper that you have in your bulletin, the first part is, there's just an empty space there. And I'm going to ask you to be thinking about ways in which you have experienced trouble. Did you listen to the choir singing this morning? Did you listen to the words as well as the music? I have been in churches, and I thank God that it's not a church like this. I have been in churches where when you walk in the church, it is expected that you will always smile no matter what's going on in your life. Anybody ever been in a church like that? That's scary. That is very scary. I thank God. Sharon and I have been here at Carl Road Baptist Church for about a year and a half, and we rejoice at the tremendous way in which all are called and the wonderful gift that this church is giving to the Lord in saying, we want to minister to the Northland community. Now, if we do that, that means some things are going to happen if we really, really do that. Is there anybody here who's ever had a bad day? And just how bad was that? I want to tell you, Christian people have some very bad days sometimes. And our God knows that. Now, I know we have some children here this morning. If you're really worried about it, you can cover their ears for just a moment. I don't believe in the stork. I know who made me, and I know who made you. And when God made you, it's kind of interesting. Genesis says something very important to us. You and I are made in the image of God. What a fantastic blessing. What in the world does that mean? We're going to explore that a little bit. In that first part in your bulletin, as we are moving through the service this morning, you might want to take a pencil or pen or whatever you write with, and fill in there some of the parts of your life that have genuinely been a problem, have been troubling, have been painful, difficult times in your life, because even God's people experience major problems. How many cancer survivors do we have here this morning? Wow. I thank God for you. But can you remember the time when the physician came to you and said, you have cancer? Did you look at the doctor and say, oh, thank you, I'm so grateful that you said I have cancer? God has given to us emotions that are powerful. They move us. And I don't know if you thought about that, but God has emotions. That's part of the image of God within us. Let's take a look at Psalm 22. In the first 8 verses, this is not a pretty picture. I don't know if you noticed this or not, but almost all the songs that we sing are songs of joy and praise. Did you notice that? And I really think that's a mistake. The Hebrew people sang songs that sometimes were songs of pain. The Hebrew people understood that their lives were a part of this world, that there were things that happened in their lives that were major, major difficulties. David, who wrote a number of these psalms, wrote psalms that reflected times in which he himself recognized that he was a sinner. Anybody here that's a sinner? Now listen, he sang about that. I love the song we sing. It's a gospel song. I'm only a sinner. What? Saved by grace. Listen to these words, because we don't normally hear these kinds of words in our worship service. Psalm 22. And remember, these words were sung. my God, why have you abandoned me? Did you hear that? Let me repeat that. This is scripture, folks. My God, why have you abandoned me? I have cried desperately for help, but it still does not come. During the day, I call to you, my God, and you do not answer. I call at night, but get no rest. But you are enthroned as the Holy One, the one whom Israel praises. Our ancestors put their trust in you. They trusted you, and you saved them. They called to you and escaped from danger. They trusted you and were not disappointed. But listen to this. I am no longer a human being. What's that say? I am what? A worm. Have there not been times when you may have felt like a worm? How many of you know what the problem of depression is? Do you realize that that is a huge problem, not just in the United States of America, but around the world? It's a problem within Christian people. And that's one of the characteristics. He's expressing something which is just as contemporary as the music we sing almost every Sunday. I am a worm, despised and scorned by everyone. All who see me make fun of me. They stick out their tongues and shake their heads. You relied on the Lord, they say. Why doesn't he save you? If the Lord likes you, why doesn't he help you? Can you hear the pain in that? That's a part of our scripture. Our scriptures are far more real than Walt Disney. Did you ever notice that? God understands you. What kind of pain? I began to realize that pain can start in childhood. Anybody aware of that? I had mentioned this to Pastor Rick, and he said, well, maybe sometime it might be good for you to share this with the congregation. My father pastored the Calvary Baptist Church in Portsmouth, Ohio, in the late 1940s, early 1950s. I was about 10 years old when I contracted a problem with my heart. I had rheumatic fever. Anybody know what rheumatic fever is? And at that time, at the age of 10, my heart was twice its normal size. There was only one thing in the field of medicine that was available for caring for enlarged hearts, and it was called penicillin. That was it. There was no surgery. Today we replace hearts. We do all kinds of things medically, but not at that time. And my mom and my dad ran me up to the Ohio State, OSU, and there was a cardiologist who took over my care. And now think about this. Can you be 10 years old? Do we have any 10-year-olds here today? All right. And you elderly people, please be 10 years old for a second. The doctor looks at you and says, I want you to be bedfast for a year. Are you with me? Can you imagine being a 10-year-old and having to do that? What's the old phrase? I was not a happy camper. But during that period of time, something happened to me that I never even ever told my parents about. They probably already know it now because they're in glory. But I had gone to bed one night. Anybody know what happened in 1937 in Portsmouth and along the river? It was a 37 flood. Everything revolves around a 37 flood down there along the river. And the house that I was living in was actually the church. The parsonage was all a part of the church. I could open up my door when I was in bed and watch my father preach through the door. That church had gone through the 37 flood. They shoveled a brand new pipe organ out of that church because of that flood. All the floors in that parsonage and in the church went like this, and they creaked. You couldn't walk anywhere without hearing where somebody was located. Matter of fact, when my father candidated to that church, my brother, who was 4.5 years older than me, was going around. We were all going together, and we were with the pulpit committee. And he made some comment out loud so the pulpit committee could hear this. Some drunken sea captain must have made this house. Somehow they called Dad. I remember one night as a 10-year-old, I had gone to bed and I couldn't go to sleep. Anybody had that problem? What can I do to get to sleep? And it was dark. And all of a sudden, and some of you have experienced something like this, have you ever had the feeling that somebody's in the room with you? And I looked, and there was a form, a human form, what looked like a human form, moved across the bottom of my bed. Not a sound. I never heard a thing. And there was a window right at the base of my bed on the right. And I saw that form move right in front of that window. Do you know what a 10-year-old would do if they saw something like that? Do y'all know about hair standing up on your head? I was scared. But that form quietly moved and back out the door and disappeared. I don't think I went to sleep until 3 o'clock in the morning. But something was interesting because at the end of that year, Dad took me up to be re-examined, and the doctor shook his head. He said, I don't understand this. My dad's name was Sam. Sam, I don't understand this. He says, your son's heart is back to normal size. We have nothing in medicine that can answer that. And I remember my father looking at him because he never knew what happened. My father looked at him and said, well, I know what happened. He did. He knew that was the Lord. I now know that that form that I did not fully understand, because sometimes the Lord comes to us in ways that we don't understand. I now know that that form that was there was Jesus walking with me. I call that miracle. I was never, ever supposed to be able to ride a bicycle. Now tell a kid that one. Folks, the Lord comes to us sometimes in the darkest hours that we can have. And my hope is that as we consider seriously moving into the lives of people within the Northland area, that we will take a look at what we might find when we start meeting people in the Northland area. Christians experience divorce. Folks, that's pain. I don't care what you say. Divorce is pain. We have people in the area who very possibly are being abused. Folks, that's pain. And I'm convinced that as we seriously minister to the people in this community, if people walk in that door and they're not smiling, that we'll simply put our arms around them and love them. That's what this is about. Jesus was not immune to pain. Have you been looking at that picture? When Jesus was on the cross, do you remember what he said on the cross? He went back to Psalm 22. He loved the Psalms. And the Psalm he quoted was not a Psalm of praise. The Psalm he quoted was, my God, why have you forsaken me? This morning, I hope that we are walking right now. We are walking together with our Lord. He knew and understood and understands what the pain is that we experience. I've met people in the hospital, more than one, who have said to me, I have no idea where God is right now. We have a ministry to them. And I thank God for allowing me to be a chaplain, because many times these people are not people who would go to a church. They're not a part of a church. And so somebody needs to be in touch and bring the living presence of Jesus Christ into the lives of people who hurt. This church is fantastic. Does anybody know Kim Brown? Anybody know who Kit Ripley is? The Woos? These are people who have said to the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm going to go where other people aren't going. I'm going to touch the lives of people and bring this fantastic message of love and care and affection. Because within the church, and by that I mean, I can only talk about Baptist churches because that's about all I've ever known. Baptist churches have tended to have this sense that there's something wrong with your spiritual life if you have problems in your life. That's not scriptural. Anybody ever hear of a guy named the Apostle Paul? We don't know what his problem was, but he said he had one. And yet he loved the Lord so dearly and so deeply, and we receive the words of Scripture from his mind. Folks, are you beginning to understand that to walk with Jesus means that he walks with you no matter what's going on in your life? Whatever is happening in your life. Is there anybody here who's ever been angry? Want to vote on this? Baptists always vote. Did you know that the Lord loves you even though you're angry at him? Are you aware of that? Sharon and I were blessed with three sons. They are now adults. And by the way, for those of you who have youngsters around your house, you will survive your children. I remember when one of our sons was about this tall. I don't know if he was 5 or 6 or something like that. And I, as his dad, had said something to him that he didn't like. Parents, have you ever said anything to your children that they didn't like? And this son of mine stood in front of me. Are you with me? His hands were fists, and he looked up at me and he said, "Daddy, I hate you." Did you hear that? Now I got a question. Did he really hate me? I know, you're mulling this one around. I can see that. Well, if you can really be a kid this morning, I hope you'll understand that, yes, he hated me. He was honest enough to tell me that. And that's one of the wonderful things about children. Now, I got another question. Because he told me he hated me, did I hate him? Do you understand why we are called God's children? I have to tell you this, God is a far better parent than any of us have ever been. And what God does is when we get angry or when we hurt, he puts his arms around us and he hugs us to him. Are you beginning to understand that this God of ours knows what pain is? He understands what it means to us as a person. My Bible says that God went through pain. Can you be in a moment, just try to think about what Jesus may have thought. Did his disciples always do what he wanted them to do? Do your kids always do what you want them to do? Now, there's actually another side of that. Is there a possibility that sometimes they get upset with you? It's this relationship back and forth that God has given to us as his creation. God doesn't go somewhere a long way off and all of a sudden say, "Well, you go ahead and do what you're going to do." He walks with us. He talks with us. Remember that old song we used to sing? "And he walks with me. And he talks with me, and he tells me." Can you hear that? In the middle of problems and trouble, that's what the Lord does. I'll be honest with you, I was supposed to speak here back in December, and the ice jumped up at me. And I busted my arm. I'll be honest with you, I did not say, "Oh, thank you, Lord, for busting my arm." What do you think the Lord did? I don't even hear this. He says, "David, you're going to be so stupid to fall on the ice, I still love you." Actually, I got to be thankful. My wife was the one who told me not to go out in my slippers on the ice. I didn't listen. Absolutely. Absolutely. Oh my. This Psalm 22 is something that I believe we need to go back and take a look at. I don't know if you know this, Psalm 22 is not the only psalm that talks about difficulty and pain. There are a number of psalms that tell us that God loves us in spite of the problems that we present to Him. This may sound a little bit strange, but as a chaplain, I remember walking into a room of a young lady, and she had become a witch. Do you all know what that is? That's a person who worships the earth. She was not always a witch. She did not always think in that way. What had happened was she had been in a church, a Christian church, who when she came in, they decided she wasn't acceptable because she did not wear the kind of clothes that they wore. And she said to herself, if that's the way Christian people are, I don't want to be a Christian. Folks, you and I have a responsibility as Christian people to be a witness to the love of Jesus Christ to every person, whether they're Christian or not Christian. When Jesus went to that cross, He didn't ask you, am I really going to go for you or not? He didn't say that. Jesus went to that cross and willingly. How many times do we think about the pain Jesus had on the cross? Anybody ever thought about that? I am convinced that the pain that Jesus experienced, the worst pain He experienced, was not the problem of the nails and the cross and the loss of blood. That's not the worst pain He had. That's enough. That's more than enough. But the worst pain Jesus felt was when your sin and my sin was laid on Him. God took on Himself the pain of my sin. Folks, that's what this table is. This was not a table of rejoicing. What happened when this table was set? There was a meal. It was a Passover meal. And if you remember, there were some not real nice things that happened at that table. Jesus said, one of you is going to what? Betray me. This was not a table where the disciples understood, even though Jesus talked about what this was going to be, they still didn't understand what He was going to do for them. He took the bread, and the Bible says He broke it. And when He broke it, He said something special. He said, this is my body broken for you. Folks, that's painful. He's talking about His death. He said, this cup is a new covenant in my what? In my blood. He shed His blood for me and for you. Folks, this was a table of pain that Jesus went through. And my hope is that now, as we come to this table, I would like you to walk with Jesus to this table. I don't want you to be thinking, oh, this is a wonderful thing to do together. Because this was a difficult thing. It was later that we began to realize how wonderful this really was. But to those disciples in that first time, this was difficult. And I'm going to ask that as we participate in this table, that you will be thinking about what was to happen in literally a few hours after this table was shared. We have just broken the ice. We've only looked at the first 8 verses of Psalm 22. Now, by the way, it is only 10:45 in Pierce, South Dakota right now. We're not going to be able to. There's so much we need to say. Listen to Psalm 22 as it continues. It was you who brought me safely through birth, and when I was a baby, you kept me safe. I have relied on you since the day I was born, and you have always been my God. Do not stay away from me. Trouble is near, and there is no one to help. Many enemies surround me like bulls. They are all around me. Like fierce bulls from the land of Bashan, they open their mouths like lions roaring and tearing at me. My strength is gone like water spilled on the ground. All my bones are out of joint. My heart is like melted wax. My throat is dry as dust, and my tongue sticks to the roof of my mouth. You have left me for dead in the dust. And if you'll switch over to verse 22, I love this. I will tell my people what you have done. I will praise you in their sanctuary. Praise him, you servants of the Lord. Honor him, you descendants of Jacob. Worship him, you people of Israel. He does not neglect the poor nor ignore their suffering. He does not run away from them, but answers when they call for help. And the rest of this psalm explores the absolute joy of what happens when the Lord moves within our lives. What's the next psalm? This is right next to Psalm 22. The Lord is my shepherd. I have everything I need. He leads me rest in the fields of green grass. He leads me in the quiet pools of fresh water. He gives me new strength. He guides me in the right paths. As he has promised, even if I go through the deepest, darkest, I will not be afraid. Lord, you are with me. Your shepherd's rod and staff, they protect me. Do you realize that these two psalms begin to explore who Jesus really is? He comes to us in the darkness, but he gives us joy too. We spoke a moment ago about the fantastic music. Do you enjoy the music in this church? Now, I'm going to get, who are the old people in the church? I got my hand up. Folks, you and I grew up on hymns and gospel songs. And every once in a while, I hear somebody say, you know, they're not singing the old songs. You don't know what I'm saying? Did you listen to the praise songs this morning? Did you listen to what the choir sang? Those are contemporary psalms. Those were the very songs that were sung in the temple when God's people worshiped him. And by the way, they didn't worship him in general like you and I. They didn't sit in pews. For one thing, they stood. And when they stood and praised God, I want to know how many fanatics we have in this church that raise their hands. How many fanatics? Come on, put your hands up. I know you do. I want more Christian fanatics, because that's the way they worship God in the temple. They love God so much. And by the way in which Hebrew people in the Middle East, that's the way they worshiped. And when they prayed, they didn't bow their head and close their eyes and hold their hands. The reason we do that, I hope you realize, is we want these kids to keep their hands to themselves. Do you know how they prayed? They prayed with uplifted hands, eyes wide open, looking into the glory. We need to recapture that joy that came in the lives of God's people. Yes, this was a table which spoke of the time when God's people were captured in Egypt and God brought freedom. Folks, God brings freedom to you if you let Him. And this morning, as you walk with Him, He's talking to you. He's talking to you right now. What kind of needs do you have this morning? Do you have needs that say, I need somebody to put an arm around me and have prayer with me? And sometimes we don't think about this in church, but we have needs to praise God. We have to praise God. The Bible says if we don't, the rocks will. The Psalms say some rather strange things. It says the trees will clap their hands. Now, how many of you scientific Americans have ever seen a tree with hands? I think the Lord's saying something to us. And as we have our time of invitation, it's a time of invitation to each one of you. If you're hurting, we invite you to come. There will be people here to pray with you. If you need healing, Book of James says that when you're ill, we call the elders together and we anoint with oil. That's our scriptures. And that's available this morning if you'd like to be anointed. I think there may be some people who may need to come up and just praise the Lord. We don't do that very often. Just say, Lord, thank you. You are so good to me. This is why we have communion together. Why are we saying this morning? If you have your Bibles, there's a passage I'd like you to consider. Jesus says something that's very, very important. It's written in your bulletin, I think. Matthew chapter 18. Those first three verses, Jesus says something that's profound. Have you ever told your kids, oh, kids, when are you going to grow up? Nobody ever said that to your kids? Jesus says, unless you become like a little child, did you hear me? Unless you become like a little child, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Wow. Now, he didn't say become a child. He says become like a child. What are children like? I always heard that meant that children were innocent. Well, I never met an innocent child in my life. What I have discovered is that kids will let you know what's going on inside. Well, frankly, God already knows what's going on inside, but He wants you to let Him know from yourself. It is so important. Paul says, have this mind in you. Did you ever hear that? Have this mind in you that was also in Christ Jesus. This is the mind. It's the mind of a child. When mom or dad say to the child, stay away from that stove, it's hot. It's important for that child to respond. That's what God wants. My brother, when he was a toddler, before I was born, remember the old pot-bellied stoves that we used to have in the house? Some of you know. Younger people don't know about that. But they used to glow red. And when he was a toddler, he decided that was something to kiss. But the parents have to say, stay away. And God expects us as children to respond to what he says. Stay away sometimes. Stay away from those things that are dangerous. You are called to be like a child. There was one other passage I wanted you to be alert to. We have been raised in our nation to believe that men never cry. How many ever heard that before? I'm here to tell you that that is not in the scriptures. It is against the scriptures. It may be American culture, but it's not what the Lord says. Do you know what the shortest verse in the Bible is? Two words. It doesn't mean he sniffled. It says he wept. Folks, that's the way. If you watch your television, that's the way people in the Middle East are. When it hurts, they let it out. Americans know. We need to let out everything that is coming, including our praise. This is God's word this morning. And my prayer is that as you head out into this week that God gives, and until that time comes when Jesus, do you remember he said he's going to return? I think we've forgotten that. My father was a pastor, an American Baptist pastor, for 60 years. He clearly understood that Jesus would return before he died. Do you know how long Christian people have been expecting that? 2,000 years. They've been expecting that ever since Jesus returned and said, I'm coming. I'm coming back. And I'm going to receive you unto myself. Now, he's saying, as you go back home, can you really be honest, not only with God, but with each other? Can you share with people that are hurting? Can you rejoice with the people that are rejoicing? I'd like you to do something that could be scary. I hope it's not. I would like you, when Pastor Rick returns, now don't tell him I said this. I would like you, when you see him the next time, I would like you to walk up to him and say, Pastor Rick, I am so glad you're my pastor. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Now that's your job. That's what you were called to do. I don't want you to scare the living daylights out of it. God wants us to share this goodness that God puts in our hearts. Do we appreciate the people who God has called to be in our lives? And that's the people that are around you, too. Take a look. Who's sitting next to you? Who's around you? The thing I don't like about this church is when you're sitting there, you see the back of somebody's head. I like it better. I had a church in South Dakota that they made the mistake of not screwing the pews down. And I went and picked them all up and put them in a circle. You want to see confusion on human? They could not find where their seat was. There is joy in serving Jesus. When we sing our hymn, I'm going to ask you to, in the hymn book, what's the number on our hymn?
Just As I Am.
Just As I Am. That's what we've been talking about this morning. And as we sing this hymn, it's an old, well, it's not really a hymn, it's a gospel song. As we sing this, I'm going to ask you to walk with Jesus just as you are. Just as I am what? Without one plea. 445 in your songbook. And if God is speaking to you and you have a need this morning to say, Lord, help me, things are going rough in my life, we invite you to come. If you've got a blessing that you just can't contain, Sharon and I went to Eastern Baptist College together. That's where I met her. Do you know what happened when one of the women in the dorm got her engagement that evening? Those girls would run up and down the hall, look where I got this ring. Why don't we do that with the Lord? Anybody ever hear the Buckeyes? You know, we ought to out-cheer the Buckeyes for what the Lord has done for us. If you would like to have anointment for healing, we invite you to come. Healing can be physical, but it can also be emotional and spiritual.